Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Catalyst Church, shout glory! Well, maybe you are almost there. Almost there. You see, in scripture, when people rejoice, they didn't clap. That's interesting, right? They didn't clap. When people rejoiced in scriptures, they didn't even scream. Interesting. We saw people sing, but the greatest example we saw of rejoicing in scripture was from Jesus. And the Bible says he agalioed. He spun for joy. Clapping is not biblical rejoicing. I'm not saying don't clap. I'm just telling you that if we're learning from precepts and example, there's a way rejoicing happened. The Bible says that Jesus said, I see Satan fall like lightning. And the moment he saw that victory, he spun for joy. Come on, shout glory. Thank you, Jesus. Has God been good to us? Well, I know that there's a lot more. And if I said, if I ask everybody to say something that the Lord did for them, you would have something to say. But you see, one thing you must learn is that you don't see the glory of God and turn your back. No. You see, one thing I'm going to teach in Lagos camp meeting, don't miss it, is the mystery of the glory of God. That you can't look upon the glory of God, because anyone who looks upon it will die usually. But when you see it, you can't look away. Do you understand the comparison I'm making? Ideally, no man should be able to look at the glory of God and live. But yet, if by any chance you get to see what it looks like, it's so engaging that you can't turn your back away. Who knows what I'm talking about? Since camp meeting, has your heart just been drawn to prayer? Just drawn to want to experience more of the glory of God? Well, those are not encounters that are light. I think you should thank God for them. And God has orchestrated it, because today you will learn how to pray. Today you will build an edifice in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive in my spirit every instruction you have for me today in the name of Jesus. Father, as we go into today's meeting, make us a people of prayer. Let us be stirred up to build a good prayer life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Come on, shout glory. All right, have your seats very quickly. Let's get into the word of God. Amen. God wants to set us apart. Set us apart. People who can stand in the gap. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've taught you before. No matter how many times we pray, no matter how long we pray, no time of prayer will ever be a waste of time. Did you hear what I said? No time of prayer will what? Thank you, Jesus. I will pray till I become a man of prayer. Can you say that one? I will pray till I become a man of prayer. You see, one of the things that must be emphasized in a season of prayer like this, I know we've had camp meeting, but we're still going to continue our teaching series on prayer as we prepare for Shekinah Lagos. Amen. And even after, we'll finish the teaching on prayer. And the end goal is that you become a person of prayer in this season. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so in this season, it's so important for me to emphasize this critical truth I want to communicate to you today. As important as favor is good, but it's not all about favor. As important as taking time and stretch periods in prayer are, that's good. But I think one of the most important emphasis I can lay in this period is that you can learn to pray. Did you hear what I said? Please, what did I say? Prayer can be taught. There is a doctrine of prayer. Say, there's a doctrine of prayer. It means that if you didn't know how to pray before, you can get better. Your case is not hopeless. I'm trying to tell you, if the longest you've prayed is 2 hours, there is hope for you. You can do better. You can go longer. Can you tell the person beside you, you can do more? I know you're doing okay. Tell the person, I know you're doing okay, but you can do more. Please, can you be certain with them? Tell them, I know you are doing okay, but you can do better. Say, there is more. Say, you can learn. Say, you can grow. Can you ask them, do you pray every day? Answer. Say, how long? If the person does not answer, respond based on how they answer. If they say they pray, or if they say they don't pray, tell them, you can be better. You can learn to be better. If they say 1 hour, say, you can learn 2 hours. If they say 5, say, you can learn 10 hours. Just always put something ahead of them, because there's more. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And you can learn. How many of you, prayer feels like a chore? Sometimes. But you can learn to make it delightful. How many of you, prayer feels like a struggle? When you're not praying with other people, it feels like a burden. Listen, this is not a time to hide. I'm trying to tell you, you can learn. You can learn. You can be better at prayer. I know you're hearing people say, I spent 7 hours. Nobody gets there immediately. You can learn. Are you listening to me? You can learn. Even if it is 30 minutes you start with, you can learn. You can learn. And that's what I want to put in your spirit. You can learn. I'm going to make this a charge so that we can spend some time praying after this. But I want to tell you, you can learn. If there's one thing I want you to pick from this meeting, is that you can learn. Thank God for favor. But that's not everything. The fact that you saw somebody in camp meeting praying with their leg like this. That's good. But you don't have to beat yourself up. You can learn. Maybe your prayers are still whispers. Or you still recite things. You can learn. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can learn. Maybe you're not seeing visions in prayer. You can learn. Maybe it's not yet consistent. You can learn. That's what I want to put in your spirit today. You can learn. You can be better. I didn't start with 7 hours. I didn't come out of the womb. And I just told them, please leave me in the baby cot. I want to do 7 hours. No. You can learn. You can learn. No, listen. If you, without previous training, try to do a stretch for 7 hours, you'll get tired. Actually, sometimes we put stretches like that to teach you. Because getting tired is part of learning. You can learn. Tell the person beside you, say, you can learn. And there's a way to go about prayer. And that's why I want to start this morning from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to divide this teaching into two. Today I'm going to talk generally about the doctrine of prayer, learning how to pray. And then on Thursday, how many of you know that midweek service is important in this church? And there's a continuation of Sunday service. If you come for Sunday and you miss midweek, you probably have missed the whole thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? On Thursday, then I will talk about the power of prayer. How to really build an edifice. Build yourself up into an edifice. Let's read Luke chapter 11 verse 1 together, everybody. 1, 2, go. In a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also. Glory to God. Listen, already it's so important that you can see that Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, who are you not to pray? Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus prayed. Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh. If anybody did not need to pray, it would have been Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Same Jesus who knows the heart of the Father, who is the same person, or rather separate persons, but the same being. Are you getting what I'm saying? But yet he prayed. He had a time of prayer. You don't have a time of prayer. He had a place of prayer. You don't have a place of prayer. You say, I like to flow with my prayer. Okay. Flow rocker. No, this is today, not today. Behave yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Today is not the day of jokes. But if it flows, it will flow. Amen. So, now, he was praying in a certain place. So, Jesus had a place of prayer. And that's critical, that Jesus prayed. That's the first thing to even see from that text, that Jesus prayed. But there are two profound things I want you to see from this. When they saw Jesus pray, the number one thing you can notice from this text is that it is possible for you to lose satisfaction in a prayerless life. Are you seeing what I'm saying? What did I say? It is possible for you to what? Can you personalize? It is possible for me to lose satisfaction in a prayerless life. You don't seem convinced about it. Can you say it one more time? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can just get, just wake up and just be tired of prayerlessness. It's possible. Tell me beside you, are you not tired? Has it happened to you before? Maybe your room was a mess and you were enduring it for 1 week. Some of you, I'm giving a word of knowledge without the Spirit leading me. Just revealing the state of your room without supernatural intervention. And just one day, does it happen to you? Just a moment, you're just like, what is this? You just act, you can even throw away good things in that time just because you just want to clear everything. Are you listening to me? Those are good times. I don't know what I'm saying. So, it is possible for you to lose satisfaction where you are, to just come to a point where you know, I can't take this anymore. And that's what happened to them. They saw Jesus pray, and immediately he felt like they had never prayed before. These guys have been praying. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They had been praying. Has that happened to you before? You are in the meeting and you saw someone pray, and you're like, has it happened to you before? It has happened to me before. Don't lie. Has it happened to you before? Like, I never knew a man could twist himself like this in prayer. What is this? You said, sir, the way you are bent, how do you get that stature? You know? Sir, how did you arrive there? What's the formula for shock? What's the formula for this movement? Teach me. On your way home, you download that song. Teach me how to pray. Because this is not working. Have you ever felt like that? Or someone just came to me to say, oh my God, let me tell you. I was in a 7-hour stretch. And they say it so lightly. And you're like, seven. Say, oh yes, yes. That's what we used to do, right? But you know that the last time you tried 2 hours, you slept. You go to heaven, you woke up the next morning. Okay, then we continue. Have you just desired it? I'm trying to put in you a dissatisfaction for not praying because it's not normal. What this world is trying to make you believe is that it's normal to be prayerless. Or to be it's normal to be prayerless, yeah. But it's not. I'm trying to tell you, it is not. It's not. Another thing I've noticed is that even believers in quotes in this part of the world make it look normal to not pray long prayers. It's not normal. I know you didn't grow up with a pastor that made you pray 5 hours, but that does not mean I'm extreme. I'm normal. Do you hear what I said? This is normal. What you were doing before is the aberration. Nobody encouraging you to have a daily devotion. That's not normal for people who depend on God. It doesn't show dependence on God. You go one whole day without acknowledging God. You must be so confident in your abilities. You must be so sure of yourself. Your life must be in your hands. I'm telling you. One whole day, you don't talk to God. Have you seen the results of when you pray? What if you can have that every day? You get dissatisfied with not praying. Do you know the funniest thing? If you are dissatisfied and you try and you fail for 6 months, you are better than not even knowing that you need to do that. Do you know what I'm saying? For the fact that you want to, even if you keep failing, that's a good place to be. Than not even having a desire. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There was a time when you had no conscience about not praying. You just lived your life. You just lived your life. But I want to put in you a holy conscience that makes you dissatisfied with not praying. When you don't pray, you should look at yourself and say, who are you? Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you. You have to start building that. Just look at yourself and say, who are you? What are you doing? Are you listening to me? So, that's what you should see in this text. Get tired of complacency. Get tired of indifference. The devil is getting away with too much in your life. Are you not tired? Too much. How come you give your life to Christ every year? The devil is getting away with too much. Amen? Too much. Every quarter, you rededicate your life. Amen? Every new year, New Year's resolution. I will pray this year. I don't even like New Year's resolution. Because there's nothing new about the new year. I don't like it. You know me, in crossover service, I don't tell you to write New Year's resolutions. Because you won't do it. If you choose to have your New Year's resolution today, you'll be more effective than waiting to December 31st. If you choose not to, no matter what happens on 31st night, your life will remain the same unless you do something about it. I heard that there are believers here in Canada that are Easter and Christmas believers. They only show up in church, crossover, and Easter. You don't have a relationship with Christ. I don't know who your relationship is with, but it's not with Christ. I'm trying to make it, that's what I think the next 6 months will be for us as a church. We'll make it not normal to be cold to the things of God.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Some of you, when you met me, you thought because of our methods, this church will not last. But I'm trying to teach you that God wants to raise us as a standard. Are you listening to me? God wants to what? Raise us as a standard. If you come, have you noticed that it's people that are not as hot as you that complain at your methods? They want it, but they don't have it. So they complain. Are you getting this? Some of you know what I'm saying because you were there before. You were complaining, but when you saw that it was possible, now you become a part of it. Amen. Am I speaking the truth? Get tired of indifference. It is possible. Believe that it is possible. What did I say? Believe. There was a way Jesus prayed that made them look at themselves and say, hey, we've never prayed before. Master, teach us to pray. Like John also taught his disciples. Guess what? Many of those guys were former disciples of John. That's why they said, as John also taught his disciples. Meaning that John had taught them to pray. Are you getting this? But there was something about the way Jesus prayed that they saw and they knew. We must learn this one. Hey, listen to me. We must learn. We must learn. One simple way for you to know the urgency and demand to build a prayer life is when you see the way Jesus lived. You say, if the Son of Man lived like this and prayed, I must pray. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's simple enough. I must pray. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. Are you ready? Let's read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus offered prayers. And what does he say next one to go? Hey, Jesus, vehement cries. is what you will call in this day groanings. So you say, brother, why are you praying like this? Shala. Jesus prayed like he was crying. Vehement cries. And then he said, oh no, my star sign is not that expressive. My personality, I'm sanguine, melancholy. We don't, you know, say, so this is how I pray. What you are praying about has not touched you. God forbid that you find something that will make you pray like you want to die. No. I don't want that to be that something will make you pray, because when something makes you pray like that, it must be desperate. Let it be that you love the Lord so much that you are praying like that. Because some people, the only time they pray like that is when things are tough. Then vehement cries come. What can be tough in Jesus' life that is making the Bible say that he, with vehement cries and tears to the one who can save. So you have to understand, Jesus was praying about something that he knew was already prophesied. Why was he praying? He was praying that God will save him from death. Was it already prophesied? Did we not know it was going to happen? Did he not say it was going to happen? Did he not tell them, destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it in 3 days? Talking about himself. Did everybody who followed scripture not know that God planned to raise Jesus on the 3rd day? Yes. Then why was Jesus praying? You have to think about this. Why was Jesus praying? Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why was Jesus praying? In the days of his flesh, he prayed. He's praying like this about something. He's groaning about something he knows was prophesied to happen. He's praying because his destiny depends on it. He's praying because his life depends on it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen, the reason why he's praying like this is because it doesn't matter the prophecy that is over you. If you can't pray, you may find it hard to steward that prophecy over your life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I know that you've received words at Shekinah. What can you pray? It does not matter what God has said over your life. If you cannot pray, you might miss it. So they say, you don't need to pray. You know, I remember my wife had just, you know, started schooling in the States at some point, and so she was looking for a group of people to stir her up. So she found this fellowship of people, you know, and so they were discussing in one service, and they were asking her, oh, how long do you pray? And she was so sad, you know, that same feeling of being dissatisfied at not praying. She had that, and she was expressing to them that, you know, I've been doing 1 hour, but I think I can do more. Sometimes I struggle, you know, to do 1 hour, but I think, and they were like, oh no, don't do that to yourself. God understands. 5 minutes is okay. 10, oh my God, that's so much pressure. I'm telling you, if you cannot pray, you cannot see prophecy fulfilled. There are many things that God has called you to do that prayer is the way you steward it. Because listen, everything God has destined for you, there is someone who wants to remove it from you. He's actively working. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There are distractions that want to take you away. They are actively working. So why do we pray long? Because there's prophecy over us. And we can't let it drop. We would pray till we see it happen. Oh, that's why we pray long. Pastor, why am I repeating it? What am I explaining? It is because I told you, prayer is the way that you invite God and let him do what he wants to do in your life. You have free will. God will not superimpose over your free will. You have to tell him, Lord, I need you in this situation. You've said this, but I've not seen it, Lord. You know, Simeon was telling you something on Thursday. I have a book of prophecies, but guess what? In my note of prophecies, I have check marks. I pray, and when they happen, I check them, and I keep praying again. Amen? Because it doesn't matter that God has said it. See, I have no doubt in my spirit that this room will be full with members. But listen, I will pray till it happens. That's what Jesus was doing. He knew he would come back to life, but yet he was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. So yes, there are great things said about you, but can you pray to save your life? Can you pray about your destiny? You can invite God actively through prayer. You listen to what I'm saying. And so when you read about Elijah coming to them and saying, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will be no dew, no rain in this year except by my word. You think he just spoke? No. It's not until you read James chapter 5 that the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions like you. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. For 3 years, 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. So listen, that one declaration that Elijah made, he had prayed. Prayed hours. The Bible actually said he prayed. He put his head between his knees. What a posture. Some of you, the only prayer posture you know is to walk around. I say there are postures. The Bible says that Elijah put his head. If someone does that today, some of you say, bro, you are extra. Some of you would have thought Jesus was extra if he was in your day. Maybe you came to a meeting, Gethsemane. Gethsemane Miracle Ministry. Then you saw Jesus falling on the floor. Oh, let this cup pass over me. You're like, bro, so what's this now? Sharman, calm down. But what was in his heart was deep enough for it to find expression. I'm teaching you how to pray. Your heart and your mouth must say the same thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Elijah had prayed hours before he came and said, it will not rain on this land. So even as your pastor, you think when I come here and I say, hey, prophetic word, receive. Many nights of prayer, many toils before God have gone on before that. Amen? Choir, have you not realized that when you toil in prayer, your ministrations are easier? Am I speaking the truth? You can see it evidently. When you pray, you are better. Please, are you listening to me, somebody? Prayer is the way you can fulfill God's plan over your life. There are things you were born to do that you will not be able to do if you don't pray. There are things God has scheduled to execute in your life that if you don't pray, you can't receive them. Meaning that you are forfeiting good things because of prayerlessness. You're forfeiting great things because of prayerlessness. Are you listening to me, somebody? Even as a pastor, this has saved my life. Saved my life. Saved my life. Now sometimes I'm praying and I just have a burden. So I'll just pick up the phone. And some of you have received such calls from me. I'll just call you. I say, hey, how are you doing? And I'll mention what is disturbing you. Then you start confessing the things that you were supposed to have told me before that you did not tell me. Prayer has saved my life. Because this church would have imploded without prayer. Amen? Are you listening to me, somebody? So, seasons like what we had are critical because without special seasons where we stretch, the devil can enter our ranks and we will not know. He can be walking in our midst and we will not know. Prayer is one way to discern and fish him out. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jesus himself at Gethsemane had to ask the disciples to pray with him. Some people begin to argue, why are we praying long prayers? Jesus said, could you not watch with me? Could you not watch with me? He prayed all night for something that he knew he would survive. You didn't hear what I said? Jesus prayed all night for something that he knew that he would survive. Are you getting what I'm saying? Another thing you can see from that, you know, and the dissatisfaction to prayer is that it's fervor. Fervor. There must have been something about the way that Jesus prayed that made them ask to be taught. And I think one of the things they saw was the fervency that Jesus put in prayer. How do we know that Jesus must have been fervent in that prayer meeting? Because of the way Jesus prayed in other prayer meetings. You don't understand what I'm saying? From the way we saw Jesus pray in other prayer meetings, we can understand that Jesus is a fervent man. And so if they are saying, teach us to pray, they wanted to learn the same fervency. You can learn fervency. Did you hear what I said? Are you following me? What did I say, everybody? What did I say, everybody? Do you believe it? You can learn fervency. Fervor is how prayer is done. You can learn it. No prayer would have been recorded in the Bible if the people were not loud. You say, why are they shouting? Shout! Shouting, shouting, church. Well, that's how the early church was. I don't know how we read the Bible. I don't know what makes us think that the right approach to prayer is whispering. Jesus was not like that, though. Same Jesus that took whips and flogged people out of the temple. When the zeal of the Lord hits you, you will be like another man. You have to understand, the other times we saw Jesus pray, he didn't pray lightly. In Gethsemane, he came. He just fell on the floor. There's nothing quiet about that guy. Just fell on the floor. Let this cup pass over me. And started to pray. You see, there's one part of the Bible that said that. Let me read it to you so that, because some of you need the proof. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Now look at this. I'm rhyming without rhyming. You heard it right. Luke 22, 44. Look at this. It's a liar. Jesus. I think the Lord is giving me the... Maybe I should just flow in it. I should let it flow, right? All right. 1, 2, go. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Jesus. Hey! Did you hear that? I don't think you believe. You saw what you read. What did you just read? I think some of you think this is like myth, like storybook, Hercules. That you don't think of what you're reading. Jesus prayed until his sweat became like droplets of blood. Listen, they are not using a figure of speech here. Jesus prayed and his sweat turned to blood. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, let me help you. It's a medical condition. I think it's hematosomething. Yeah, something like that. Who is a medical artist in here? Nobody. Lagos, I have doctors everywhere in Lagos. Jesus. It's something that happens when you strain yourself and you are so burdened about what you are doing that your blood capillaries break and enter into your sweat glands. So, this is how I know that part of what they saw Jesus doing was the fervor he used to pray. And they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. You can learn fervor. Did you hear what I said? You can learn fervor. I know you came to this church like this. But you need to live like this. Amen? You need to live with some postures of prayer. Amen? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Another thing they must have noticed is impact. There was impact to the prayer that Jesus prayed. They saw him calm the storm. Results in prayers. They said, teach us, Master, teach us how to have your type of result. How? I can't have your type of result. But I get what I'm saying. How? Have you ever wondered? Why, Pastor, what type of prayer are you praying to heal this person that I cannot pray to heal the person? Have you asked those questions before? What is it about your prayers? What is it? So you can learn. You can learn how to get results in prayer. Because that's what they saw. Please, are you following me, somebody? Are you being stirred up? This is critical, 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 critical. Number 4, priority. They saw his priority in prayer. You know, Jesus hardly prayed for needs. Hardly prayed for needs. Have you seen a man that does not pray about what he wants, yet God gives him what he wants? What kind of praying is that? Some of you have only learned the prayer that gives you what you need. You've not learned the prayer that can make God give you what you need. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a type of prayer that when you learn, needs are the least of your worries. But because of how much you don't pray about needs, your prayer for needs ahead. See, there are some praying men that cannot suffer. Did you realize it? Let me not say there are some praying men cannot suffer. If you seek the Lord, that's what the Bible means when it says seek the Lord first and his kingdom, his righteousness, that every other thing will be added. If you seek the Lord and seek the Lord's business, then your business becomes the Lord's. So if you learn to seek God about the right things and not just needs. I'm not saying don't pray for needs. Everybody has, we have our different levels of consecration. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You can ask for needs, but I'm saying that the core parts of your prayers cannot always be just needs. It cannot be just needs. If all you ask the Lord for is need, you can't be a strong man of prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because prayer, one of the things you see with Jesus and priority in prayer is that needs are always at the side. They happen by the way. They happen by the way. All in all, I'm trying to say, you can learn to pray. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Can you say it like you believe it? And that's my second point. Number one was a dissatisfaction, right? So prayerlessness. Number two, prayer can be learned. It can be. You can pray like Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible, that everyone you admire in Scripture is an example of what God wants to do in your life. Did you hear what I said? Everyone you admire Jesus' prayer life, God wants to replicate it in your life. There's a school of prayer. Are you listening to me, somebody? You can have your answer, your prayers answered like Elijah. But the problem is that if you want to see what they saw, you must be ready to do what they did. Did you hear what I said? If you want to what? See what they saw, you must be ready to do what they did. So you want to have results like Elijah, where you can come up and say, by my word, it will not rain for the span of 5 years. Can you do what he did? You know, I've said it before. If you want to grow, don't watch people's performances. Watch their rehearsals. Did you hear what I said? If you truly want to learn, don't watch when people do the things. Watch what they did to make them be able to do the things. That's how you grow. Amen? That's how you grow. If you want to see what Elijah saw, can you pray like Elijah prayed? Can you seclude yourself just for prayer? And just go paratela nama kemetalatana mambretos. Ekalapana mambretos. Shada kapena tondalai. Elanana kambretusala kambeka ekato. And just remain. There's a way you can find pleasure just serving the Lord, worshiping him, praying. You have to learn to stay. You can't rush it. Amen? You can't rush it. In our generation, we've not understood how to stay. We want fast-paced things. Now. I want grace. Now. You don't go and pray. Father, grace. Now. Grace. Now. Grace. Now. Grace. Now. The funniest thing is that Because God answers, you might see a similitude of grace, but it will not last. Because one thing that God does is that God does exchange in the spirit. If he gives you grace, he must kill in you anything that goes against that grace. Unless you are ready to drop that, you are not getting it. Have you not noticed that it's dead men that do great things for God? When I say dead men, I don't mean physically dead men. I mean people who are dead to the flesh and the things of this world. Because God believes that when he gives a man that has no ambition but him grace, he knows that they are not going to get distracted. So sometimes what you need is that prayer needs to condition you. Hey, are you following what I'm saying? Don't be distracted. Prayer needs to condition you to a point where God becomes your source and your all. And when God becomes your source and your all, the grace that you're praying for will flow. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If not, your grace shall become this grace. Say, preach on, Papa. I'm kidding, please. You get what I'm saying, please? Or the anointing shall become an anointing. Seliku Belaida. It's flowing today, right? That's good, that's good. Amen. Please don't mind me. So, don't be satisfied with just praying 5 minutes and you don't have answers. No, you can learn to pray. Tell the person beside you, say you can learn to pray. Say you can learn to pray. Some of you, you know, you want it fast, so you go to pray. After you say, it is done. Nothing is done. It's only you that you are done with praying. You pray 2 minutes. You have not even gone 5 minutes. You're already rejoicing. It is done. It's not done. Amen? It's not done. That's why God actually gives you something called a note of victory. An alarm in your spirit so you know when it's done. Some of you have never prayed long enough to even be able to discern it. So you can't know when it's done. You don't know when it's done. It's not done. Pray more. Are you getting what I'm saying? Pray more. Because when you pray long, when you forget, another one is coming. So you can pray. You need to pray for God's sake and not for clock's sake. Selani Kambe. You see, when you're doing this long enough, the Lord, you know. Amen. So, but I mean that not just as a joke, but the moment you learn to pray for God's sake and not for clock's sake, you will discern that alarm. Are you following me, somebody? Is this clear? Once you can let go of every other thing and stay, your focus will be, is the matter done or not? Then you can honestly tell yourself, I know it's not done, and continue praying. Until you reach there, you won't be able to pray long. You put away the clock, remove your wristwatch, throw it away. You might pray and come back and pick the clock and say, 2 hours, and you check 10 minutes. You put it away again. You go again. You pray. That will help you gauge. Let me tell you, if you want to learn to pray, do this. Hear me. Put away the clock. Pray as long. When you feel like you've prayed 2 hours, that's when you should come back. Then check the time. I bet it's 10 minutes. Then put it away again. But this next time, you have to do times 2 or 3 of what you felt was 2 hours before. You'll most likely be on 1 hour. Because that second time, usually, you will press longer. And if not, when you check, maybe it's 5 this time. You know that I have a long way to go. Put the clock away. This time, don't check it. Say, we die here, Jesus. We die here. And a good way to go to pray sometimes is to have a plan. Now, if you want to pray with the clock, I don't advise it. Because the kinds of prayer you pray with the clock are not prayers that you want to get a note of victory on. I pray with the clock on some matters. It's when I want to stir up something, build up something, or just make declarations about something. So I make plans for prayer. I list out 6 things. You know what I'm saying? 10 minutes to each. But you don't pray prayers you want to hear God back like that. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's another way to pray long, actually. If you write 20 things you want to pray about, it's small. No, not 1 hour. I'm showing you how to pray long sometimes if you want to use the clock. If you write 20 things and you give it all 10 minutes, how long would you have stayed? No, 6 things for 10 minutes is already 1 hour. Yeah. 3 times 6, 18, 3 hours. You just finished a 3 hours prayer. That's the only time praying with the clock makes sense. Other than that, throw it away. Just put it in the WC and flush it. Amen? But I'm trying to tell you that the only way to discern that alarm is when you let it all go. I have a lot to teach. But you know what? Because I wanted to teach you what Jesus then said to them when he said, teach us to pray. And I was going to explain what the Lord's Prayer really is, which is not a prayer to recite, but a protocol of prayer. All I want you to focus on, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to build a relationship. Because actually, when finally Jesus responded to them to teach them how to pray, he said, Our Father, who art in heaven. You think he taught them a prayer to recite? No. He said, Our Father. He was teaching them that prayer is about a relationship first, before any other thing. Listen to me. People who don't know God pray. Do you know? Yeah. You can pray without a relationship, but you will not have the results that people with relationship have. And you get what I'm saying? Cornelius prayed. Demons prayed. They begged. They said, please don't cast us here. Cast us here. And God answered. So, you can be praying to God before now and not have a relationship. But Jesus is trying to tell you that if you want to learn to pray like I pray, the first thing you must know is that you are talking to your Father. Today, can you strike a relationship and press deeper? Not for anything you want, just that you may know God and experience Him fully. And it becomes your delight. Can you begin to pray right now?